Enrichmentality.com.
One of the first topics we talked about on Enrichmentality was, what does it mean to be rich? Today I'd like to think about what it means to be poor, to live in poverty. You might ask why I feel the need to talk about such a topic. After all, being poor and living in poverty surely just means having little or no money, right? And the dictionary agrees. Poverty as a noun is defined as the state or condition of having little or no money, goods, or means of support, the condition of being poor. And poor, as an adjective, is defined as having little or no money, goods, or other means of support. Of course, we have to ask what little money, goods, or means of support really means. So think about being poor for a moment. What do you imagine when you hear phrases like global poverty, or make poverty history, the world's poor? What about statistics such as 21% of children in the US live in families with incomes below the federal poverty threshold, or 13.3% of all people in Australia are living below the internationally accepted poverty line? Do you imagine the same kind of poverty? Something the dictionary definitions miss is the distinction between absolute and relative poverty. Absolute poverty is defined in terms of the minimal requirements necessary to afford minimal standards of food, clothing, healthcare, and shelter. The UN paper, Indicators of Poverty and Hunger, uses the following 8 indicators. Firstly, food. There must be enough for a person to sustain a body mass index, or BMI, above 16. Now this measure is problematic, but a BMI of 16 is still considered underweight. The average American's BMI by comparison is over 26, which is considered overweight, and this is the average. Second is safe drinking water. It must be available less than 15 minutes walk away and not solely come from rivers and ponds. Third is sanitation facilities. A toilet or latrine must be accessible in or near the home. Fourth, health. Serious illnesses in pregnancy must receive medical care. The fifth item is shelter, a home not made of dirt, mud, or clay, with fewer than 4 people occupying each room is necessary. Sixth is education. Everyone must learn to read, whether that's at school or through other means. Seventh is information. Access to news media like newspapers or television, radio, computers, or telephones at home. And finally, access to services, legal, social, and financial. Anyone who lacks access to 2 or more of these is considered to be in absolute poverty. Yet, the definition of poverty and the official threshold is significantly higher in more developed countries. And this is where relative poverty comes into play. Relative poverty is defined, as the name suggests, relative to others in a country. For example, one measure might be living on an income below 60% of the median income of people in that country. According to the Relative Income Poverty Among Children in Rich Countries report, once economic development has progressed beyond a certain minimum level, the rub of the poverty problem is not so much the effects of poverty in any absolute form, but the effects of the contrast daily perceived between the lives of the poor and the lives of those around them. What does it mean to live below the poverty line? It all depends on what poverty line you mean. Charles Long, the author of How to Survive Without a Salary, reflects that he and his family used to be shocked or embarrassed when they found out that they lived below the poverty line in the US, which was $13,360 in 1990 for a family of 4. Yet compare this to the international poverty line, which at the time was roughly $1 a day. The World Bank has since adjusted this to $1.90 per day in 2015, but that's still only $693 per year. As Long argues, the North American poverty line, high enough to include plumbing, TV, and telephone as basic needs, would seem like a cruel joke to someone facing starvation. In case you think this is an overly grim worldview, consider that as recently as 2005, Jessica Williams reported that more than 70% of the world's population had never heard a dial tone. And yet today, only 3 countries in the list on Wikipedia have fewer than 65 mobile phone connections per 100 people. So does poverty exist? It's a provocative question, but Dorothy Rowe, in her book The Real Meaning of Money, argues that it doesn't. She says, "Actually, there's no such thing as poverty. All we can see is people living in ways which we call poor." Now, these ways might include the indicators of absolute poverty, or they may simply be symptoms of relative poverty, lacking a certain brand of backpack for school that most of the other kids have, going to the movies less often than average. Poverty, Rowe says, is an abstract noun, a tool for thinking. I describe poverty as being extensive when what I mean is that there are a great many people who own very little and therefore can be described as poor. But in highlighting the fact that poverty is an abstract noun, Rowe is not dismissing the problem. She says, "I think there is too much poverty. Not everyone would agree with me. Some see poverty as being inevitable, like rain. The trouble with using abstract nouns is that they provide a means of getting further and further away from reality. If we talk about people, some of whom are rich and some poor, we stay closer to what is actually happening." So why are some people poor then? This is the wrong question, according to the author of Progress, Johan Norberg. He says, "We do not need an explanation for poverty because that is the starting point for everybody. Poverty is what you have until you create wealth." I think it's important to note that I believe Norberg is referring to humankind, not specifically to individuals here. Some individuals, as we've explored before, are born into immense wealth without ever having to create anything. But looking at the question of poverty and wealth from a societal perspective, it's true that poverty is the default position. Food and water must be found and prepared. Homes and hospitals and schools must be built. As Jane Jacobs says, poverty has no causes. Only prosperity has causes. One of the things that travel has taught me is that what we view as rich and poor is relative not only to those around us. I visited both countries in which I am poorer and richer than average. But poverty is also relative to the time period that we happen to find ourselves in. The castles of yesteryear may appear grand, but their facilities were horribly basic. Even the king did not have a flushing toilet, a telephone, a portable heater, or a television, no matter what country they were in. No amount of money could buy you the sort of medical care that we now have available. I visited a museum earlier this week which covered medicine from the Neolithic period to the space race. And for a great deal of history, a doctor diagnosing your urine by smell and taste and then letting your blood was your best bet. Or, if you couldn't afford that treatment, a whole lot of prayer. And we don't even have to look that far back into history. What about your great-grandparents, or even your grandparents? My mother asked both of my grandmothers to write down the stories of their childhoods. We only received them after they had passed away, and one story in particular struck me. When a baby was born into the family, they had no special cot. The baby had a drawer for a bed. Now today, I can only imagine that this would be considered a mark of extreme poverty in Australia. But at the time, it seemed pretty usual. Rowe reflects on the changes that occurred within her own lifetime. She says, "I grew up in a home which had electric light, a gas cooker, an ice chest, and a radio. No refrigerator or telephone, and if we wanted a hot bath, we had to boil the water in the copper in the laundry and carry it in buckets to the bathroom. Most people in Australia lived in the same way, so we didn't regard ourselves as poor. However, nowadays, if I were forced through a lack of money to live in the same way, I would regard myself as being poor. I would know I was poor because I know about not being poor." What Rowe is referring to here is relative poverty. Feeling poor because you lack certain goods or amenities in comparison to others, not because you're starving or homeless. So what is the role of money in poverty? The dictionary definitions of poverty highlight the role of money, or the lack thereof, in being poor. But the 8 indicators of absolute poverty talk about basic necessities, food, water, shelter, and so on, without mention of money. According to the authors of Think Like a Freak, poverty is a symptom of the absence of a workable economy built on credible political, social, and legal institutions. It's hard to fix that, even with plane loads of cash. They point out that similarly, a lack of food is not usually the root cause of famine. Quoting the book Poverty and Famines, starvation is the characteristic of some people not having enough food to eat. It is not the characteristic of there not being enough food to eat. Are you poor? Roe has a simple way to determine if you're poor. You're poor if you think you're poor. But there are other ways to be wealthy and to live an enriched life other than zeros in a bank account. Who do you think is richer? Abby, who earns $38,400 a year, but cuts her own hair, mends and sometimes sews her own clothes, cooks most of her meals from scratch using homegrown vegetables, lives in a location so she can walk to work, borrows books from the library, and makes many of her own home cleaning supplies for very little cost? Or Carrie, who also earns $38,400 a year, but spends $2,625 at the salon and on clothes, $3,680 more on eating out, lives in a suburb far from her job so she needs to spend $9,264 on her car, spends about $1,000 on entertainment and another $1,000 on household goods. Abby might live what looks on the outside to be a poor lifestyle, but she spends less time in traffic, uses fewer harsh chemicals, eats more fresh food, and spends more time outside. In addition, her skills translate into a huge saving each year, $17,529 in fact. Abby can spend this money on other things, she can save or invest it. Essentially, her skills in other areas are valuable even if she doesn't earn money from them. Of course, this doesn't solve the dramatic income and wealth inequalities in society, but it does demonstrate that spending more money does not necessarily equal living a better life once your basic needs are taken care of. To find resources and references, visit enrichmentality.com.